We have a granddaughter that is 2 years and 4 months old, Ginger, approximately. 2 months, 2 years and 2 months old. Her name's Lily. Oh, she's precious. But I'm starting to see something in her that concerns me a little bit. She's getting kind of stubborn. Told her to do something the other day and she kind of threw herself in the floor. I think she got there from watching Ginger. I don't know. But here's what I know. She's not any different than us. We don't want anybody telling us what to do, right? We don't want our spouse telling us. It drives me crazy when my wife tells me what to do. I've actually told her before, I'm not one of your students. We get angry when people around us tell us what we need to do. We want to be independent. We want to be free. Remember, our country was founded on the principle that we don't want King George telling us what to do. We want to be our own boss. Therefore, we want our own country. Here's the problem. We oftentimes get ourselves into traps where we have no freedom. We're talking about seeing the traps ahead of us so that we don't step into them or walk into them or back into them because they ensnare us and hold us. And the trap we're going to be talking about today, I dare say either you are in it or you probably have been in it. Anybody ever been to the zoo? Have you been to the zoo? You've been to the zoo. Have you gone by and looked at the monkeys? And you got to be careful with the monkeys. Sometimes they throw things at you that you don't want them to throw at you, right? Have you ever wondered, how did the monkeys get here? Did they sign up for a trip to America? I saw an article about how they still catch the monkeys. They take a coconut, okay, cut a hole in each end, okay? One end they stick in a steel cable and a bolt and tether it to a tree. And the other end that they cut a hole just big enough that a monkey could slide in his hand. And they put a sweet treat inside of that coconut. And all they do is lay it out there. They say oftentimes there'll be a number of them under the same tree. Well, the monkeys come along, they've got a good sense of smell. And they smell something that entices them. All of us have been enticed by something we smell or see or want. They see it and they go up to the coconut. And they say that most of the time they'll pick up the coconut and look in it. But then it's, they don't know what's in there, but they know they want it. So they will reach in their hand, squeeze it in, and grab it. And when they try to pull it out with a closed fist because they got it, they can't pull their hand out. And when they get caught, those who are trying to trap them to put it in zoos and elsewhere just walk up to them and throw a net over them. They caught themselves. They can't get out. How many times have we felt ourselves in a situation that we just could not get out of it? We've talked about the trap of bitterness, where we allow something to fester in our heart and soul to where it taints everything that we do. We talked about the trap of sexual issues in our culture and in the lives with pornography and addictions and how it's destroying even so many of our children who through their phones, smartphones, and internet addiction have become addicted to porn. Today we're going to talk about something that I think that we have all dealt with or some are probably dealing with right now, and that is the trap of materialism. It's new, it's shiny. Everybody else has one. Why don't I? The trap is that thing that we see that we really desire. Maybe it's that new car. Did anybody see where they're coming out with a car that stretches? Have y'all seen that? It's a strange thing. They're talking about coming out with a device that we can keep in our pocket that takes pictures. We can use it as a phone and a computer and a net. Oh, we've already got that, don't we? There's always something new, something flashy, some gadget, some gizmo, or if you don't want that, have you been to a furniture store lately? Well, I'm going to tell you, what they got in the furniture store looks better than what you got. Probably sets better too. There's something always enticing us, and we fall easily into that snare. But what holds us and what allows it to happen, you see, they carve out the hole in the coconut, okay? Put the sweet in it. We don't have a coconut, but we got credit cards. Yes, we do. We've got payday loans. We've got installment plans. Oh, you want this? We can make it happen. We can make it happen. And you fall into the snare and you get it and you take it home. And then lo and behold, in about 5 weeks, the bill comes from the credit card company. They got you. They got you. I've experienced it. Haven't you? You find out that at the end of the month, the bills you have coming in, bigger than what you have in the bank. It happens to us all. John Wesley made this statement. He said, now, this is a 1700s preacher that rides a horseback. He's a circuit riding preacher. He says, whenever I get extra money, I get it out of my hands as fast as I can, lest it take root in my heart. What we deal with in materialism, it is a heart issue. I want what I see, and I'm going to make it happen. Three simple points. The first one is this. Materialism has many people trapped. Now, I have a quote for you. Have we got this quote back there? All right. If there is a single word that summarizes American hopes and obsessions, this is it. More. More money, more success, more luxuries, more wheels, more gizmos. We live for more, for our next raise, our next house, our next car. And the things that we have today, they pale in comparison to what we're going to get tomorrow. The hunger for more has become a shared addiction. You catch that? The hunger for more has become a shared addiction. Success is described solely in terms of money and possessions. I did not get this from a Christian periodical, but from the New York Times. They see it. We see it. We know it. It's like no matter how much we got, we need more. We need more. Reminds me of a story Jesus told. He said, and I'll abbreviate it, there was a farmer who had a really bumper crop one year. I mean, a really big crop. His crop was so big he didn't have enough silos and barns to put it in. So he said, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to build me new barns and new silos to hold all the stuff I got. And he was grinning from ear to ear. He said, I'm going to say, soul, take it easy, eat, drink, and be merry. Isn't that what we want? We want so much stuff, things. And by the way, we all justify them one way or another. I need it. So he's built these barns. He's got these silos out there. He's just said, take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. And God says to him, you fool. Tonight, you die. And whose shall those things be that you have provided? Our tendency is to think we need to possess, when what we actually need to do is learn to let go so that we can focus on the one thing that truly is important. The one thing in life that's going to be here and in the hereafter. Now, I mentioned that I have been caught in the snare. Ginger and I would probably be in a position to be a bigger giver if we had not made some of our mistakes as young adults. I wish someone had cautioned me at that time. I'm going to give you a quick 6-part step of how you can know if you're in the snare. Okay, before we start it, imagine this monkey. His hand is caught. He can't get out. Maybe somebody comes along and says, I'm going to give you a 6-part test as to how you can tell if you've been caught in the trap. First thing is, can you go anywhere you want to? If not, you're probably caught, Mr. Monkey. These are the 6 things for you, very quickly. Am I comparing myself to others? I'm going to confess a little bit here. Ginger and I, since we've been married, have always made it a point to be back to visit with her parents and my parents and family at least twice a year. Whenever we would go visit my parents, it would be hard for me. My parents were fairly affluent. Both of my brothers were fairly affluent. Ginger and I sometimes would drive up in our older, smaller vehicle and park next to their brand new one. And you know what? I like the new cars, I'll be honest with you. Don't you? They were always talking about shopping and what they were buying. Maybe it was a boat, maybe it was new furniture, or maybe some property they had bought that were going to set up a couple of tree stands on. Deer hunting, if you don't know. And oftentimes I would leave there envious of what they had. But God soon corrected it for me. This is what Paul says in 2 Corinthians 10:12. He says, we do not dare classify or compare ourselves to others. He says, it is not wise. 2, am I coveting things I don't have? Oh, how easy we can fall into that one. Am I coveting things that I don't have? Jesus says, take care and be on guard against all covetousness. For one's life does not consist in the abundance of possessions. How important is this point? It's one of the big ten. You know the Ten Commandments? Thou shalt not covet, because if you covet, it means you are not content with what God provided for you. And it is no different than at Christmas. Imagine you save up and you give your child a gift at Christmas. And at Christmas time, they open their gift and they look at it and they say, well, this really is not what I was wanting. How rude. When we covet, we're saying, God, I want something you've not given me. I'm not content with what you've put in my hands. I want something else. And we tend to go after. We tend to pursue. Maybe it's the new. What is the newest iPhone that's out? Now, I think mine's a 7 or an 8 or something like it. A what? 11? All right. Well, does anybody know what does a new iPhone cost now? How much, Chris? How much? 14? For a phone? Wow. And do you understand there are people out there, maybe some of you saying, I need it because it's got features your phone does not have. Did you know that? Got to have it. We covet it. I was at conference, Ginger and I stayed in a motel and we ate breakfast that morning, and I noticed somebody had came and set down their tray and their phone was right next to it. They left their phone there and went back to get some more food. And I'm thinking, how dangerous. With everybody coveting, somebody's going to walk by and take that phone if they're not quick back. The new phones, the new cars, and I could justify a new car. I could justify a new car because and say it's got safety devices I need. It does. It'll stop itself. It'll tell me if I'm crossing the white line. I could justify it. But it is not a good use of the resources God has put in my hands. I told you I used to have a motorcycle when I was in college making payments on it. If you're making payments on a motorcycle and you cannot afford to buy your fiance an engagement ring, as my wife pointed out to me, then the motorcycle needs to go. So I sold my motorcycle and bought an engagement ring. Now, fortunately, the prices of big screen TVs and televisions, they've come down, but I'm telling you, they've got some that are curved. They've got some that are as big as the wall you're going to put them on. And it's almost like they just pull you into the screen. It would be easy for a sports guy especially to covet that because you could almost follow the quarterback's eyes and see what he's doing. Maybe you're tempted by furniture, jewelry, tools. But if you're coveting something you don't have, you will never learn to be content with what you do have. You've got to learn to say, God, thank you for what I have, and not always, God, give me more. Number three, am I allowing things to make me feel important? If you allow things to make you feel important, what's going to happen when people have newer things? Are you going to feel less important? Our value comes from knowing that God created us and that God loves us. That is our value, not the possessions that we enjoy. Number four, am I allowing things to make me feel secure? I need to make certain that I give you an a wake-up call this morning. Regardless how much you have, you are not secure. We have a virus that's going around our globe, okay? And to be honest about it, really ain't that bad a virus. Great scheme of things. If you're old, if you're older in ill health, or you have compromised health, it can be dangerous. But I'm telling you, it knocked our stock market for a loop. Has it made you think? Suppose it was an illness or a sickness like the plagues we used to have. Our stock market would collapse. You say, well, I've got a good job. Well, the problem is your boss can't keep you employed because nobody wants to buy what he's got. You'll lose your job. Well, I've got cash in the bank. I think the Bible talks about in the end days that people would give a bag of gold for a loaf of bread. Hyperinflation is always possible. The only way to be secure is to find it in Christ. You can say, I don't know what's going to happen, but I've read the Bible, I've read the final book of Revelation, and I know in the end, we win. That's all you really need to know. Number five, am I able to give generously and joyfully? Remember, how do I know if I'm caught in the materialism trap? Are you able to tithe and give God 10%? Are you able, and we're going to at the end of the service, give you a chance to do some special giving. Are you able to give someone serving Christ a special offering to help them along? Here's our problem. I'm saying our problem, not just yours, it's mine too. Our culture has conditioned us that we need to have certain things. Amen? Maybe it's a certain style of clothing. Our closets are full. We just got to pack in some more. Maybe we've got to have that newest gizmo or gazmo or tech phone. We want a car that we can drive that when we're driving it, we look really good. You know what? Who wants to drive an old clunker? Many of us need to be driving clunkers, something we can afford. But here's what happens. We get a pay raise. Economy's doing good. We get a pay raise. Now I can afford to buy that thing I've been wanting. So we either pull out the credit card or we put it on the installment plan. And once a month, we're paying out for this thing we wanted. And then the preacher comes along and says something like, are you able to tithe? And you think, well, I can't afford to tithe. I bet you could afford to if you didn't have so much stuff you're paying on. Our problem is not God has not blessed us. Our problem is our lifestyle that we want and almost demand. We deal with our credit card payments. Do you understand the problems with credit cards and installment plans? Let me explain this to you. Well, I've got a scripture verse. Doesn't come up till the next point. I'll get to it then. All right. When you go out and buy a home, all right. Anybody here ever bought a house? All right. You bought houses. You understand if I paid $150,000 for my house, all right, $150,000, in 5 years, it's probably appreciated. Amen? Maybe it's worth $175,000, maybe $200,000. A mortgage is an appreciating asset. Your property is getting more value, and you could sell it at any time and pay off what you owe. God does not warn us about that kind of debt, although we've got to be careful that our eyes not get the lenders would tell you, well, you have been approved for a $250,000 loan. Don't listen to them. Say, no, I'm not going to spend that much on a house. It's foolish. That's an appreciating asset. What you buy with your credit cards are probably depreciating assets. We've got a yard sale coming up. We got a bunch of the stuff back here in this classroom that somebody bought brand new, probably some with credit cards. And they said, well, this is a nice picture. I'll pay $50 for this picture. Put it on my credit card and I'll pay interest on it. Now we're sitting back here and we'll put $5 on it. It's a depreciating asset. You will never get out of it what you put in it. Clothing that you buy is a depreciating asset. You're never going to get your money back. Odds are you're not going to like the style or it won't fit you next year. Your car is a depreciating asset. Oh, I have learned whenever I go get my car clean and they ask me what odor I want the new car smell. Because it's the only way I'm going to get it. I like the new car smell. But it is a very poor investment. When you drive it off the lot, the value drops, and it drops so quickly. It's a depreciating asset. When we go in debt for a depreciating asset, it just destroys us. God wants us to be a giver. And we can't give if we're paying off everything we've ever bought. Our sixth point here is basically what I've been preaching on, is am I burdened by consumer debt? And that is consumer debt, that depreciating asset. Proverbs 22:7 says that the borrower is slave to the lender. I tell you what should scare all of us. Is how our country is acquiring such ridiculous debt. We're up to what now? About how much? $23 trillion? The date is coming when, because our economy has a downturn, maybe with the virus, that we cannot pay our debts. And when we cannot pay our debts, one of two things will happen. Other countries are going to come in demanding we pay them, or we're going to print more money. Sounds like an easy fix, doesn't it? We'll just keep printing more money and pay our debt, and then hyperinflation sets in. And all of a sudden, groceries reach the price you can't even afford. Debt will bankrupt you. Debt, unless our politicians get a backbone and decide that they're going to curtail spending because they need to pay down the debt, it will one day bankrupt our nation. A couple of thoughts here until I get to the next point. Time, a magazine, says the average American spends $1,300 for every $1,000 they make. It catches up with us, doesn't it? And I like this. What do you call it when the output exceeds the input? Bodybuilders call it overwork. there's more going out than coming in. Bodybuilders call it overwork. Electricians call it overload. Bankers call it overdraft. Politicians say, what problem? And you know what they do basically say? Your children will have to deal with it. All right. That's my teaching segment. Number two, giving is the only antidote to materialism. Have you heard that before? Like about 2.5 months ago during our Treasure Principle campaign? Giving is the only antidote to materialism. Set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. Second scripture verse here, Jesus says, no one can serve two masters. You cannot serve both God and money. Randy Alcorn says this, okay. God doesn't prosper us to raise our standard of living, but to raise our standard of giving. Giving is the only antidote to materialism. There are some times I wish I could come out and shake people and say, what are you thinking? I see people make purchases that are absolutely stupid. They can't afford it. I know they can't afford it. And I'm going to tell you, you will find a banker somewhere or a credit card company that will lend the money to you. And you can't blame them for your stupidity. And you become enslaved, in bondage to it. Because the bills keep coming. And remember, the borrower is slave to the lender. So you got to make those payments and make those payments and make those payments, which means you can't honor God, you can't put God first, and you drift further and further away from God. And then it becomes easier to buy things you can't afford in the hopes that one day maybe the government or somebody will bail you out. This is also a quote from Randy Alcorn. Giving is the joyful surrender. Did you catch that? Giving is a joyful surrender to a greater person and a greater agenda. It dethrones me and it exalts him. Have you ever thought that our spending is a spiritual issue? Do you spend it all on you? Because I need it. Probably just want it, but I convinced myself I need it. Or do I understand that God places it in my hands so that I can give? God wants us to be givers. He is a giver. He puts it in our hands, and we fall into the snare and the trap. Well, now I can buy more stuff. And then you have to call your father and say, Dad, help me move this weekend and bring your truck and trailer, right, Bobby? Somebody got to move my stuff. You know what we're doing? This is crazy. We got so much stuff. Our closets are full. Our houses are full. Our garages are full. So we got to rent a storage building to put more stuff in it. How crazy are we? And we think we're being wise. No, we're not being wise. We fall into a snare and we think, this is how you do it. You just keep spending and spending and spending. You say, well, Pastor, I can't afford to be a giver. Yeah, you can. sell something. Well, that's when it hit, sell something. What do you mean sell something? Sell something. Furniture, big screen television, sell that fancy new car and buy that clunker. You can afford to give. Here's the problem. You can't afford to give and live the lifestyle you want to live. Because you want God's money to buy you stuff instead of God's money being used for His purpose. Maybe you need to move into a smaller house. Too many people buy houses they can't afford. Oh, no, this is a tough one now. Maybe you need to call the cable company and say, I'm canceling. Maybe you need to take the streaming that you're doing and say, I'm canceling. Maybe you need to get one of those, please forgive me, a flip phone. A flip phone that you call people, or maybe that's it. Nothing else. We think we've got to have everything. And then when the need arises, God can't use us. Number three, we must choose to let go of the things we've been pursuing and instead pursue God and His purpose. There's actually a site that you can sell stuff on called Let Go. Did you know that? Let Go. And for each of us, it's something different. Please don't take me wrong. For me, at one point, it was a motorcycle. Couldn't afford it. I've owned several motorboats and trailers. I've owned them. Then it dawned on me I couldn't afford it, and I sold them. Now, one thing I am cautious about, I'm generally not going to buy something if I don't think I can get for it what I paid for it. Maybe you need to let something go. Maybe what you need to let go is that pride in your heart that says, I need these things to be content. I need these things to be happy. I need these things to make me feel important. What would you say to that monkey? What would you say to that monkey underneath that tree that's got his fist in that coconut and he's holding on to that sweet? What would you say to him when the captors are coming? Let go! All you got to do is open your hand and let go. But he will not let go. You need to let go. I'll make you this promise. You are no happier with more stuff. No happier with more stuff. Regardless of the size of your house, you're probably going to come in at the end of the day and sit down and turn on the television. Doesn't take that much room. If your house, I just thought about this. This is really good. Y'all get this, okay? If you have a small house, less of a house payment, and you can get a smaller screen television because you're not that far from it. You know what I'm talking about? Smaller screen. Save your money. Let go. I think if we could, we would scream at that monkey, just let go, let go. And I think that parents, teach your children that debt can be bad and evil. And you know the best way to teach them? Show them by example that it's not where to go. Okay. I'm getting where I'm preaching a little bit now. All right. This is what Jesus says here. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you. Well, Pastor, I'm concerned about a place I live. We've got to have food to eat. I do need transportation. Jesus says, but seek God's kingdom first, and all these things will be given to you. Or let me paraphrase this. You put God first, and I'll take care of all the rest. You put the wants that you have aside, and you pursue God, heart, soul, mind, and strength, and I'll take care of you. Remember, the only antidote to materialism is giving. It is the only antidote. And you do not say, here's what we tend to do sometimes. Well, preacher, I'll pray about it. Preacher, I'll pray about this materialism. I did not say prayer is an antidote to materialism. Praying about giving is not an antidote to materialism. It's when you give that all of a sudden you find that you have a release and you don't have to have all the things anymore. You don't. Let me, speaking of giving, three things. I'm old-fashioned, and Ginger and I have been tithing since we have been married. We give 10%. I think God instituted that as a way of keeping man's heart directed to Him. Because to a large extent, it helps you from becoming materialists, because you know that the first I receive is God's, not mine. You should be tithing. If you're not tithing, you should pray to see how you can do it. Or at least until you get there, give as much as you can, making personal sacrifices. To Stan Robley, have we got Stan's picture back there? Please prepare for this. Oh my. Stan, I didn't know that's what it's going to look like. Stan has felt a burden from God to start to be involved in a ministry entitled Man in the Mirror. He's become burdened, and what Man in the Mirror does, it is a ministry to men, a mentoring ministry to men. Stan's going to be in, do you call it area director, Stan? He'll be an area director working with churches and leadership within our church, like David back here, helping set up men's discipleship. Stan has to go for training. The training cost him $3,500 that he's got to come up with. I want us to help him come up with it. You say, well, Pastor, if I do that, I can't go out to eat today. Well, you need to lose weight anyway. I'm serious, I do. You think I'm joking? Most of us, all we do is overeat. If you're, someone told me before the service, Leonard told me, he said his dishwasher went out. Isn't that right? Dishwasher went out. If you can afford to buy a replacement appliance, we can afford to help Stan. You see, again, it's a matter of priority. It's all about priority. Is God first? Or am I first? From time to time, we have missionaries come in. We need to give generously. We've got a team that's going to be going to New Mexico doing mission work. We need to give generously to them. You come across people on your job or different places that are hurting. Maybe you need to decide, I don't need this that bad. I'll give it to them. I'll let them have it. Jesus says again, but seek ye first the kingdom of God. His righteousness, that means His purpose. And all these things, I'll give them to you. He's saying it's going to take care of you. All that monkey has to do is open up his fist. All you've got to do is to a large extent open up your pocketbook. And by that, I mean, do I really need this? Or is this just a want? Some of you should go home and cancel some subscriptions to things you can't afford. We don't have lined up, and maybe what we need to get lined up is another Dave Ramsey seminar and teach you how you pay those credit cards off. Because I know some of you are drowning in credit card debt. But you need to make practical decisions so that you can be a giver. Bobby, have you got those envelopes back there? Let's just pass those out just real quick. Maybe like maybe just one to a family or something. Everybody okay? Preacher's talking about money. I don't know about this. Now, I'll remind you, in the book of Acts, they sold property and gave it to the church. Some of you got some extra property? Maybe an extra house, some land. We could use that. All right. Here's what we're asking. We always give to God first. We give to the local church because the local church is the storehouse whereby God works. So here's what I want you to do. They're passing out a special offering envelope. If you can help Stan. Guys, is there another slide back there for how they can give, or was that it? Is there something else, Stan, about giving? Do what?
At the bottom of the slide.
Okay. You've got to, let me explain the options to you if I can, okay? All right. If you've got a stack of cash in your pocket, there used to be an old codger back when I pastored in South Mississippi. He kept a roll of cash. I don't know how much in there, but all I could see was 20s in that roll. He kept a wad in his pocket. If you're like that, you can just use the offering envelopes. But by the way, somebody broke into his house and knocked him in the head because they found out about that wad of cash. So be careful. The church, use the white envelope. If you put it in the pink envelope, Tammy's going to make certain it goes to Stan at Man in the Mirror. You can also give online to the church and online to maninthemirror.org. Stan Ribley. Does that sound right? Stan has a burden and a passion, but he's asking us to come alongside him and help him help us. God calls us to be givers. When we are givers, we act like our Heavenly Father. Have you thought about it? Whatever you plan to give to the church, go ahead and give it. We have bills to pay. But I want you to dig deeper. I want you to pull out those couple of hundreds that you got stuffed up in the back of your billfold back there. I know you got them, and you know you got them. Heart's okay. All right, let's pray. Father, as we today have talked about giving, Lord, and materialism, Father, I pray that our hearts would be free to serve you instead of wanting all this stuff that we tend to want, Lord. Help us to live like Christ lived. Help us to trust you. Help us to put you first, Lord, and find pleasure in you. Not into all the temporary possessions that we've got. I pray that God would deal with your heart. Just pray this simple prayer with me there where you sit. Father, forgive me for my selfishness. That I would spend the resources you've given me just on me. Forgive me, Lord. Help me, Father, to focus on your kingdom and the purpose for why you put me on this earth. Help me to put you first. In Jesus' name, amen.